to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the program, and thank you for everybody tuning in live here on Facebook. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada, wherever you are taking in your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the show. We appreciate it. One of the things I enjoy about this show is that it is live. We have viewers commenting and speaking and certainly participating in the show. So I enjoy that. Welcome, everybody. We are going to talk to Dr. Andy Jacks tonight. Andy is a superstar leader, Virginia, Northern Virginia, D.C. area. He's doing tremendous things in the elementary world. He's an author. God, Discipline Wins. What a great book. I'm excited to talk to him about that. I'm excited to talk to him about his leadership. Andy and I had a chance to be at a conference together, Casper, Wyoming, two guys from the East Coast, and they were tremendous hosts. That was a lot of fun. I got Andy's plaque on the wall there. They gave us a plaque and his pictures on there. So he's on the wall of fame here, so pretty cool. All right, let's get started. I do want to thank IXL. They are sponsoring the program. Tremendous. The link is in the show notes, and I've used IXL as a school leader. It is a tremendous program for kids getting instant data, building up their math and science along the way, and our ELA, tremendous. So here's a little advertisement for IXL. Hey, friends, Andrew Murata here, Surviving and Thriving. And I want to thank today's sponsor for the podcast, IXL. Discover the power of data-driven instruction in your school with IXL. It is the most widely used online learning and teaching platform K through 12. It gives you everything you need to maximize learning, from a comprehensive curriculum to meaningful school-wide data. And IXL's diagnostic is research proven to be a strong predictor of performance on standardized assessments, including NWEA, MAPS, STAR, iLearn, just to name a few. And the best part, everything I just mentioned is all integrated into one platform, so you can simplify your EdTech tools. Visit IXL.com to lead your school towards data-driven excellence today. The link is in the show notes. And again, I want to thank IXL for sponsoring Education, Leadership, and Beyond. And again, thank you for that. Thank you for IXL for the relationship. So many school leaders, educators are using it around the country. So it is February 1st. It is Black History Month. And in honor of that, I got my shirt here from the Muhammad Ali Museum, Louisville, Kentucky. Be great. Do great things. Andy Jacks is doing that, and I'm excited to talk to him in just a minute. The opening concept here today, passion or success? Passion or success? Which comes first? My good friend, Dr. Rob Gilbert, had this on the Success Hotline this week, and I loved it. He asked the question, are you successful because you're passionate, or are you passionate because you're successful? And I think the answer is clear. Right? We have to be passionate about what we're doing. We have to be passionate in our lives with our families. We have to be passionate about our schools, right? To do that work, to show up with energy. And then it comes, the success comes, the good things come. So whatever your field, wherever your school is, be passionate. That will lead to successful things. And the other thing is contagious, right? That passion's contagious. We're going to talk to Andy. He's a K through eight guy, elementary guy. That passion in with those little kids, God, it's tremendous. So think about that. Are you successful because you're passionate, or are you passionate because you're successful? I think the passion comes first. I think that's clear in the work we're doing. Enough of me talking. Let's bring Andy into the show. Here he is from Northern Virginia in the new office. Andy, welcome.
Yeah, my home office. Got it all set up. You know, still got to figure things out, though. You know, where things go. I got to get one of those nice, fancy spotlights like yours, just right there.
Got the spotlight here. But, yeah, I mean, I hope you hang up the plaque, man. I mean, look.
Yeah, boy, I love that. That's what I'm talking about. That's the real stuff right there. That was a good time.
It was a good time. They took care of us for sure. This is Dr. Andy Jacks, everyone, from Northern Virginia, principal, author, speaker, family man, father, husband. I mean, just getting it done. And man, he is a good looking dude. So Andy, I appreciate you coming on and having you here. How's school? How you doing?
Good. Doing really well. It's busy. Busy. K is busy. So, but good. Really well. Today we had a great day. Got off the science fair. We just had our science fair for our students. They did an awesome job. You know, so here's what I learned today in the science fair. You know, you learn something. I think it's important to learn every day and learn from your students. So one of my students taught me today that he learned that a human can actually, the average speed of a human running is actually faster than Tyrannosaurus Rex. So I was always scared of Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know, I can never outrun a dinosaur like that. But he learned it and he found out that we're actually faster. They're slower than the movies. In the movies, they're super fast. You know, they just come at you. But in real life, they're actually bigger and slower. So now I feel better about safety if I ever go back in time.
It's so all good. So Jurassic Park, you're going to get away.
Yeah, just outrun it.
Just go. He got your attention with that.
I like it.
Andy, what'd you think about the opening comment there? Passion and success. What are your thoughts there?
It's a great question. It's passion, man. It's always passion. If success is a byproduct, and success is a nice thing if you're lucky, right? But the reality is the passion matters more. If you really are passionate about something, you'll be more fulfilled in your life. You will find more enjoyment with what you're doing. You'll be more. That passion will be contagious to others. And the passion has to be what you're all about. And especially if you want to bring change, or if you want to, you know, really have a successful school or successful organization, really that passion will drive all of that home. And the more that the people around you can share that passion, then that'll always bring success as a byproduct. Success comes later. You know, the hard work, the passion, that comes first.
Absolutely. Our friend Jay Billy says, as long as he can outrun as long as he can outrun you, it doesn't matter about the T-Rex. Thanks for tuning in. A lot of friends tuning in.
Yeah, that's what it is. Just make sure you're fasting the guy next to you. Jay, that's probably true. You do. You're a runner. You could probably outrun us. So
outrun us and pin us both for sure.
That's right.
Well, talking about passion, Andy, what are some of your passions? You got a lot of things going on. You're doing some tremendous things. What are some of your passions?
Yeah, I mean, definitely school. My life is school. You know, I have family in school. So trying to make our school the best it possibly can be. Right now, we're really focusing on making students feel welcome and feel like they belong in our school. So I'll just give an example of that, trying to put passion to action. We started a process so that every single student, new student that comes into our school, we're welcoming them with open arms. So something I've done before, but finally really bringing it back to the schools at the elementary level. We literally have them come in the first day of school with their family. The class comes down. I take a picture of the student in front of our sign. We have this big like painted mural. It looks amazing. And I take a picture in front of it. And later in the day, I actually print out that picture on a printer, like at an office. I sign the back of it, welcome to Noakesville, and I give it to them so they can put it on their fridge. It's great. And then the class comes, we circle around, and I introduce the parents and the teacher and the student. And the student's not in the circle. The student is part of the circle. So now I say to all these kids, I need you to make sure that you're going to help this child feel like they belong today. So by the end of today, they're going to have friends. They're going to feel like they belong. They know what to do. And they feel like they're part of our family now. And I ask them, I say, how many of you are going to help this child learn something and be a friend? Well, they all raise their hand. In fact, one student today started actually counting all the kids, his kindergartner. He started counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And it was really such a cool moment. So it's not more than a few 5 minutes, something like that. And the kids help me because we talk about, you know, our Tigers together. We talk about being in one school, and the kids actually chime in with, yeah, we're about kindness and hard work. And it's such a cool thing that I finally now gotten to be back more involved in doing that. And I do that directly. If I'm not there, assistant principal does it. But it's such a cool thing for us to do because we're trying to really make sure that every single student feels like they belong in our school. And that's a big deal, you know. In a big school, we have 1,200 kids. So it's a big school. So we want to, it's more work, but it's worth the investment of my day. And it's one of the best things I do. So that's an example of trying to be what we're passionate about right now.
Yeah, that is a tremendous strategy. And I love it, right? You don't just take the picture. You print it, you sign it, right? That last, I'm in the home office. I got pictures here. I think that's so important. I love that you do that. Very cool.
What's cool is like, I got one of these phones, like this awesome S20, whatever. And has like, look at all these cameras, right? So it takes like really good pictures too. And so like, I had a picture of this girl in front of the sun. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the coolest picture. I got some of their families. You know, they literally take it home that first day and they put it up on the fridge. So, you know, I really, that's something that we've talked about, I've done in the past at Ashland. And then for us now, we really just got to get back to that core, make sure one child at a time, you know, so many kids can get lost in the numbers. And you know, in no way are we perfect and we still struggle to make sure everything works out right. But, you know, if you can get that one win with a child and a family, that takes you in the right direction. And then especially when they come in, you set the tone when they walk in the door.
Andy, you're touching on a little bit of your style, your presence in the building. What would you say is your style? What type of leader are you?
Yeah, well, I try to be enthusiastic. I try to be empowering. I try to be involved in classrooms, around the building, team-oriented, people-oriented, trying to pull people together. Just today, we had a leadership team meeting in our school, so we had like, I don't know, probably 18 to 20 different staff members, and we're helping to troubleshoot problems and get their input and help make decisions. And, you know, I'll be honest, like when I do my job right and when I'm my best self, I'm like more of that. And that's the struggle of the principal. You know, I'm going to be the first one to admit that being this perfect principal, doing all these things all the time is, I don't know if it's unrealistic, but it's such a challenge. So we just got to keep striving to be this best version of ourselves as a school leader. But for me, it's one that's involved, enthusiastic, and growing, building. Like, I'm always thinking about how can we add more in our school, create more opportunities, empower people to do different things, and then ultimately look, make sure students are achieving. It's such, all schools focus on it in general, but few schools really can move that needle to really change the dynamic of how they're achieving in the school. So that's something we're talking a lot about. That's something for me, it's always a focus is, Results matter. It's not just because they matter for test scores, which they do matter from a, you know, a school achievement standpoint. We have to get performance, you know, that's measured by the state and the district and everything else. But it's bigger than that. If students are succeeding, that means that they're doing well. That means they're happy in school. That means the teachers are excited about what they're doing in the classroom. And that means the parents are then satisfied with the work that you're doing in school. So results are a byproduct, but results are the goal. Our goal is that every single student can be successful at our school. And so that's why we do focus a lot on, you know, where are we going and how are we going to get there? But ultimately, you know, there's a benchmark, but are we moving that needle to go in the right direction? Just recently, we're talking about, this is mid-year now. So if we set goals in the beginning of the year, how are we doing right now? We should be seeing progress at this point. And one of the coolest things to me right now is we are seeing progress. And our very next thing to do is start celebrating like crazy for the progress we are seeing. Nice. So that achievement progress piece of it is what gets me up in the morning. Because again, you help one child be successful. You help another child be successful. You could potentially change the trajectory of their life, you know, or not. You know, so that sense of, you know, you can just come and do your job or you can get after it. And I tell you, teachers, principals, parents that get after it, that really do everything they possibly can for their kids, they see results. That's the bottom line. And so when I see those kind of people around me, that just like fires me up. Just the other day, I was in a situation where the teacher, and she was saying, you know, I made this change because this is going to work. And I saw this huge gain on a test and she was just all fired up and I got fired up. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'm coming to your room. I'm going to go tell them all, like, let's go, let's do it. So that right now is a little bit of a moment right now that we're having. So it's exciting because that's what you try to be as a school, to be this sort of uplifting place.
Very cool. You can feel the passion coming out. Our friends Jeff Evner is watching, AJ Bianco. Jeff had a great quote in there. That's tremendous, Andy. And just listening in the last minute, you had a leadership team meeting. You're at the science fair. You're up early. How do you organize your day, Andy? How structured is your calendar and your meetings versus you dealing with throwing up and all kinds of crazy stuff?
Yeah. Well, ideally, you know, I try to make sure I'm strategic. So something we've been talking about lately is if I have these goals, say a goal is it could be a goal like you have your evaluation system that's due, your mid-year reports or your professional growth plan meetings or whatever, observations. if those are important to you, then those have to be scheduled in advance and on your calendar. So I have an administrative assistant. And so she and I talk every day. And I'm always like, okay, whatever is the next series of things, don't even ask me. Just put them on there. Get them on there. Find me if I'm late. Hunt me down. Get me in a place because and let the other person know. And that's a little bit of a trick, little tip, is that if you schedule something with somebody, don't just schedule on your end. Schedule on their end and your end because it puts more pressure on you as a leader. Even something as simple as we do like informal observations where we have to go into a classroom for a short period of time to get some feedback. A lot of times those don't have to be announced. You can just do them at any point. But we are purposely making them announced. So like it's scheduled with the person. One, to show them that I'm not here to like get you on anything. It's not a gotcha game. I'm here to just be a part of the learning process and help give some feedback. But it also puts pressure on me because I have to go. Because if they know I'm coming, then they're kind of looking forward to it. They're trying to be prepared for it. And then if I don't show up, that means that I'm not following through with something I said I would do. And that's a big deal. So that extra pressure for a leader actually helps. Because then when I have these competing interests or someone that's right in front of me and says, I need your time right now, I can say, your time is valuable, but I got to go because they are waiting for me. So sometimes you need that pressure on your goals, you know. And so I try to like make sure that my schedule has built in times that I'm hitting those goal things. Built in times I'm checking in with different teachers or different parents or different staff members that I need to do on a regular basis. And the one thing about that helps is, let's say I'm working on a long-term goal of attendance, let's say. And so whoever's in charge of attendance, instead of just randomly seeing them, you just schedule times on a regular basis that you're touching base, even if it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 5 minutes. But if you schedule on a regular basis, then as a leader, it helps me to just sort of free my mind off that for a minute. It's because I know I'm going to have a scheduled time to get back to it. But if I don't have scheduled times where I'm coming onto something, then I'm constantly worried about, am I doing something on that topic? Have I really gotten back to that person? Are we falling behind on that goal? So really trying to be intentional about the time that we have and how you schedule it. And just knowing that no matter what you do, it's all going to blow up to some extent. You have to be sort of okay with that. And that's something that for us, for a K-8 model, is an extreme challenge, to say the least, is trying to make sure that you are both meeting those goal-oriented kind of time management and then also the stuff that comes up or a meeting that goes long that has to go long. And so that is a challenge for sure. But just, intentional strategic scheduling is everything.
I love the intentional there. And I like how you said that a little pressure, a little healthy pressure on your goals, right? Even getting this podcast done, I knew you were waiting. It was scheduled. It's out there. And I'm scrambling with the technology here. Glad it worked out. But that's awesome. Yeah, Jeff, being intentional. Andy, you're at the Noakesville School, Northern Virginia. You've been there since 01?
I've been there.
21.
Yeah, so I've been just over 2 years. So two years. And 4 months. Yeah, I started mid-year a couple years ago. So, yeah.
And you were at Ashland a long time, 12 years, did incredibly well there, some tremendous things. What were some of the best points there, some of the greatest things there, and then maybe some of the things that you took that you learned at Ashland that you took with you to Noakesville?
Yeah, people. It's always people. It's people. The same thing that made it great is the same thing that you miss, you know? You don't miss the building per se, right? You miss the people in the building. And so we made some special moments. We had some real work being done. We had hard times. We had good times. And so all those special memories, you know. But we were really, for me, it was a leadership development over time, being there for a long period of time, which is not something I thought it was going to happen. But being there a long period of time helped me develop as a leader in the same sort of microcosm. So at one point, we made some good gains. But then I realized that what was holding back the school was me not getting better. And so once I try to be more engaging, more motivational, more people-oriented, relational that way, then we did see some trajectory change. So we did go from sort of an average performing school. When I started there, we were about 440th or so ranked in the state out of all the elementary schools for overall performance. At our highest, I think we were ranked like 49th in the state overall.
350 spots.
Yeah. So but we were hustling, man. We were getting after it. We had goals. We had 100% goals. Like we had, and this was teacher developed. I'll give you an example of that. We had these goals that were like 80% pass rates, 90% pass rates. And then a teacher would get 100% pass rate. And they're like, where's my award for my 100% pass rate? I was like, you're right. So now we had to have 100% goal. And then we were giving out gold stars and I had a gold suit and we were just gold standard is what we were doing. And we're getting there. And these teachers were unbelievable people. And so when you set that bar so high and people can get it, then they want it. They get the taste of success, right? It's like any, you know, sports, any championship team, it's hard to lose that, but it's hard to gain it. Once you get it, it's hard to lose it. You know, you see like the Chiefs right now, they're just that caliber expectation of success. And so when you hit that, that's something that's a special thing. And that's something that we're working really hard to do right now is develop that sense of achievement and success because it just feels good. It feels exciting. And you know, everyone wants to be part of a winning organization. And but on a practical sense, we were doing things there, robotics, and we were refurbishing computers at the elementary level. So fourth and fifth graders were refurbishing computers and donating them to the community. We had a very military connected family school. So we were doing a lot of military connected supports, you know, deployment care packages and, you know, focus groups with families and all sorts of big parades for families. But, you know, really it came down to the instruction in the classroom, class meetings every day, cooperative learning. We had a whole expectation of doing cooperative learning on a regular basis, the kid and cooperative learning structures. And so just so many things over the years. And it really wasn't just one thing. You know, we had a studio news show every day that was driven by the students, completely student driven, Hollywood style news. I mean, so it just never ended because we kept adding. That's 12 years. That's one thing people got to remember. That's 12 years of development with people that were awesome. Awesome. So, you know, and that's one thing that I'm trying to do now, similarly, but totally different, is all of that success comes from the people involved and what they kind of want to do. You have ideas. I can throw all these cool ideas out there. I'll give you one that didn't work. 3D printer. When 3D printers were coming about, I got like a free 3D printer from someone because of a chat thing that we were doing online. And I was like, yeah, let's go 3D printers. We'll be so cool and innovative. And it fell flat. We weren't really excited about it. I didn't have the personnel that really wanted to do it. And it just fell flat. And you know what I thought? Okay, that's not one that we're going to do. Instead, we went in a different direction. And so you have to realize that the people involved have to really determine what makes them passionate. Because I can be passionate all I want. But, you know, if the person that's mostly involved in it, whether it's your instructional technology coach or whether it's a teacher, if they're not passionate about it, well, then they're just doing it for you, maybe. And so I really, I think your school, right? I mean, they'll do it if they have to, but that's not the same thing as doing it because they want to.
Yes.
And so your school really should be different based on the people in the building, right? The passions of those in the building should make your school different than another school. So that really takes away from the cookie cutter school approach. Yeah. But so many things that were awesome there that I miss, but mostly just the people. But super happy to be where I'm at. But, you know, when you're around people for 12 years, you know, we went through real life stuff together. And, you know, they're part of my family kind of thing. So, but that's how the change process works.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of recognition at the school, a lot of awards, the Department of Education Purple Star Award, a United States Secretary of Education visited. And through all that, you were named Virginia Principal of the Year. That had to be, you know, feel really good in doing that work. What was that recognition like for you?
You know, it was interesting. Recognition for the school was outstanding. You know, having the Secretary of Education come to our school and, you know, just like our school now, we welcome anybody. We want to make sure that we're welcoming to anybody. So we had Betsy DeVos come, who at the time was very controversial. And so she came. And one of the things that we want to show her was, what does a good school look like? Like, you can say someone doesn't understand education does. And to us, it didn't matter. I want to show you what a good school looks like so that you now know and you have a picture in your head what an amazing school looks like. And so we did a whole tour for her. And it was those kind of moments were special to me because I could see in person the things that we were doing that really made it special. It wasn't just talk. You know, you can get awards, but that's different than actually seeing it and feeling it in person. It just feels different. It feels special. There's tangible proof and evidence of the good work we are doing. That mattered more to me than the awards itself. The awards sort of give you opportunities to be more, you know, present out there, be more connected. But ultimately, the school pieces of achievement were always the most important thing for me.
Andy, I mentioned IXL, the sponsor in the program. Was IXL something that you used, a tool, you know, to help your performance?
Yeah, I've used IXL, and I use IXL now. So we've used IXL for I've actually probably used it for a long time. Yeah, some good friends over there too.
Yeah, and I mean, just that the growth that you're able to see with the kids, and like you said, when the educators really get into it, there's a lot of passion and a lot of connections there.
Practice. I'll do a little analogy, right? And this is where I will say, you know, and at the end of the day, the students need to make sure they're getting practice on a skill. And, you know, you can say the drill and kill and all that, and I'm not getting all that, but kids need practice. And the more that a student is doing a skill and they can master a skill and getting feedback on that skill, the better they're going to achieve, bottom line. And one of the things that worries me right now, actually, is that the things I look at is how many times does a student actually practice a specific skill? If you want to talk about basketball, they want to be better dribblers, they got to dribble all the time, bottom line. You want to be a better shooter, you got to shoot all the time. You got to get feedback on that. And so one of the things I like about IXL, programs like that, that give a lot of practice. So students can do it at home, they can do it at school, and they just get practice, feedback. And it's one of those things that a student can take it on their own. A student can say, I want a person to get as best as I can be on the skill. And that's a tool where they can actually take it all the way. So I definitely love the idea of students making sure that they can have that individual opportunity for excellence if they choose to do so.
Absolutely. Well said. Andy, outside of school, you're doing some great things as well. You're an author. You're a speaker. Again, you and I are at the Wyoming Principals Elementary and Secondary, and that was a great thing. How do you prepare? A lot of school leaders ask about, hey, how do you start presenting? How do you do that? How do you prepare for a keynote event like that when you go speak?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I probably prepare different every time. I don't know how you are. The speakers, I think, are all over the place in how they prepare. For me, it's a combination of a few things. One, you got to know your audience, right? Ultimately, if I do my job right as a speaker, it's not about me, really. It's about how can I support or help or serve or motivate those in front of me? So in this case, if you're speaking to principals or school administrators, you have an idea of what they're going through, of what they need, of what they want. If you're speaking to teachers, that's a little bit of a different thing, parents or just the community at large. And so you got to think about what do they need that I can then offer to them. You know, if they need a rah-rah, because that's a lot of people need that right now, they need some motivation, then you add in elements of stories, success, of just energy and excitement. So those are things I try to do. I also try to, you know, it's things of experiences that I've learned from. So it could be funny situations, or it could be sad ones. It could be tear jerkers, or it could be just informational ones, but I try to connect the dots, right? Here's a situation I had. In many cases, I share stories that I did not do a very good job of, right? Something I may have messed up on that I learned the hard way. And so most of the time I share things that are not always just this, like, I did awesome here, do this. It's a lot of times it's like, here, I did this, it didn't work, so do it this way instead, you know? And I think a lot of people can relate to that, but I also try to make sure I throw in, for me, it's important that there's a lot of information. It's sort of a shared knowledge. I want research in there. So I try to throw in a lot of research and marry that with everything. So it likes balance of it. Cause you know, if it's all just rah, rah, and they don't leave with takeaways or a different sense of the topic, then I feel like that's not enough for me. So I try to pull all that together and then, you know, change all the slides. We all do that, right? I just try to think about the audience and then what I can offer them is the biggest thing. I know for me, I do better and I feel better if I'm truly getting out of my own head and thinking about what they need and how I can just serve, basically.
Yeah. And they were a great group of people. And
Great group. Yeah.
It's so true, though, about the relatability. When you talk about your screw ups, and it's almost like, wow, this guy's not perfect. Look at that. He made the mistakes I made. And there is a relatability there. And it was great to meet you. We got to break bread. That was fun. How about the writing, Andy? You wrote a book. Was that, is it through Dave Burgess? Is that who'd you write it with?
Yep, Burgess, yeah. Dave's great. So that one, I appreciate Dave for the opportunity. So that one is a passion project completely. So a little backstory is that I got my doctorate at Virginia Tech, go Hokies. And when you do your dissertation, you have to pick a topic. And so I'm heavily involved in the special education world with school over the years. I have a child with a disability. And so the topic is definitely on the forefront of my mind. And then I really got into this idea of discipline because at the same time, I'm pondering my own experience as a child, my child's experience, and then seeing what's happening in schools and all the frustrations we're having. I literally started my dissertation with a question, which was, why can't we suspend kids more? That's how I started, not less. That was the question I had because we were going through stuff just like schools are going through now. So that's one thing I really want people to understand about the book. And sometimes people think, oh, all you want to do is let kids do whatever they want or whatever else. No, I started the research based on why can't we suspend kids more? Why do schools have to put up with, you know, whatever behaviors that are happening in schools? That's not fair. So that's why I started. I left my dissertation thinking we should not be allowed at the elementary level to suspend kids. Complete shift. Right. And for the record, yes, I do suspensions in school. And yes, it is a part of the thing, even though I tried, you know, I was able to at Ashland really eliminate them. But that's a long journey. But that is part of our disciplinary plan. It's part of the code behavior for us. But the mindset of exclusionary discipline is a complete shift for me. So the idea that exclusionary discipline there's so much research that shows that it's ineffective and it's actually detrimental to students over time. And it's detrimental to schools. So schools that use more exclusionary discipline as a practice, they actually have feelings of unsafe. They feel it's like less safe. They feel like they're worried about their own situation more. Like, are they next in line to be excluded? And it just caused so many other problems besides the individual student, of course, that you suspend. And so there's so many other research-based ways to support students and to really be proactive. And so the book really turned into a product of here are all these other ways that we've learned sort of the hard way in school and from research about what you could possibly do about the topic of school discipline. But there are so many great books about school discipline. So these are just some thoughts and examples that may be helpful for a school. I know a school just shared something with me the other day that they used for their staff where they broke down the book into chapters and they were able to get some takeaways. And that's the ideal thing, right? Because we as a staff at the time were struggling. And so I was just trying to find answers for teachers and for myself. And so there's an element in there for like staff, but there's also an element for principals. And so that's why I got this like passionate thing about the book. So the book was really a byproduct of the passion of everything I learned from my dissertation. And I was fortunate enough to have someone that believed in me that could help publish it.
Yeah, Dave's the man. I know Jay wrote with Dave also. Tremendous. Discipline wins. Strategies to improve behavior, increase ownership, and give every student a chance. Well done there, Andy. How about now? I know you write a blog. I know you're doing some different things. You have 3 children. You're married. You're involved with NAESP. There's a lot there. How do you find the time to write?
There's no time. You just do it. You just got to do it. People have asked me that all the time because I was on the Autism Society Board of Directors. I do a lot NESP. I love National Association of Elementary School Principals and Dr. Franks and everything they're doing over there. So I'm heavily involved with that group trying to advocacy and education for principals. You just make time. You just find time. You squeeze it all in. I don't have an easy answer. I'm not like a scheduled, like every day I do this at this time, this at this time. You just have to squeeze it in where you can. And honestly, if it's something you enjoy doing, you're passionate about it, you find a way. You just get it done.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. My dissertation, for those that are thinking about it, the one thing I did with that someone recommended for me was every morning I got up and wrote something every morning. So got up early. It could be 10 minutes, it could be an hour, it could be 2 hours. Every single morning during that time period, I read and wrote something. And I did my dissertation 1 year, and that included active research.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
And that included active research. So I actually researched principals in Virginia that were able to eliminate suspension for students with disabilities.
Wow.
And I found out what they thought was the most important thing, which was ultimately having a relationship with the child. But that included that research. So, but every single day, don't break the chain concept. You know, just every day, it's easier if you just get up and do something. Get up and do something. So that, I definitely recommend that, but you just find time.
AJ
Bianco. How do you do it? You should have the answers.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that early, I'm an early guy. I do a lot of talk to text.
Yes.
I do. Okay. I'm on the treadmill, gets the oxygen going, and then I got a document. I clean it, and I go from there. I also steal the writing prompts while I'm driving, rather than I got the prompt. I know what I want to write about. So when I sit down, I have it. You know, it's kind of like having the meal in front of you. You just got to eat it. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I definitely love that idea. You get these nuggets, right? Something just makes you think like, ah, that's kind of an interesting thing. And then the trick is write it down.
Yeah.
Come back to it.
You got
to
write them down. I got Siri. I got more reminders, alarms all over the place. John Gordon calls them
through all those.
Yeah. John Gordon calls them downloads. And you got to grab the downloads when they happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andy, anything you wanted to talk about that I did not ask you?
Well, I go back to the National Association of Elementary School Principals. If you're a school administrator, aspiring school administrator, this group is for you. It's about advocacy, education, support. This is elementary and middle school. So like now that I'm in the secondary world, and that is a huge philosophical mind shift for me, secondary and elementary, and I'm both right now. And I love it. You know, the secondary piece, I love it. So we also help support secondary principals too. And this year, like the summer conference is actually a joint conference with the National Association of Secondary School Principals. So K-12, and we're really excited about that. So we do a lot of work with principals. We have right now, I help lead the Centers for Advancing Leadership. And so we have 5 different centers: early learning, women in leadership, diversity in leadership, innovative leadership, middle school leadership. So there's a lot of sort of avenues of you to be involved if you're one of those leaders that, because there's so many leaders out there that maybe one school in a small area, it could be a rural school, you may be in a big district, but you feel alone. That happens too sometimes, right? And so this place is for you. If we never want a principal to feel alone in their job, and this is one of the most lonely jobs you can have. And so we want to make sure they are connected, they feel supported. And so many people, I know Jay, he said he's going to be there. So many people, if you go there and you're part of a group, I guarantee you, no one's going to exclude you. It's a welcoming group. Get involved, say hi, get connected. We're real people. And that's something that I want to share and that make sure people are aware of that support.
Nashville, right? Nashville, the
United States. Yeah, we're downtown Nashville.
Just July. Jay, I know he's knocking on the door, and hopefully Jeff will be there, but Andy Jacks will be there. Andy, let's get rolling to rapid fire. We could talk all night, you and I. These are quick answers. First thing that comes to your head, are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Last book you read?
A biography about Tesla, Nikola Tesla. Yeah, nerd alert. Nerd alert. It's weird. It's wild, too. It's wild, but yeah.
Last movie you saw?
I'll go a show. We're watching the True Detective series, the fourth season, True Detective.
Okay.
You know that series?
No.
Oh, yeah. The first series had Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
And this is like the fourth season, Jodie Foster maybe or someone. It's good.
Okay. Last concert you went to?
My wife's going to hate me. I don't even remember the name of it, but because I don't remember these country stars, the new country singers, Luke Holmes or something. I mix up their names all the time now. The old guys, I remember. The new guys, they're all great. I just don't remember the names. We went to a concert, small venue. It was amazing, but I forget the name. Country.
Favorite dish?
Oh, filet. Give me a steak any day of the week. I just cook filet with, remember we had the big one at Casper? Yeah. We just cooked filet with bacon wrapped around. On a skillet in the oven. Oh,
that's
so good.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
The skillet in the oven. Way to go. Favorite place to travel other than Casper, Wyoming?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful there. Hiking. We're doing a little hiking now. I'm trying to hike with my brother when I catch up with him, and my daughter. I'm trying to do more hiking, get out there, get more out in the world.
You're in a beautiful part of the country outside D.C. there. In 2024, we're in February, already lost a month here. In 2024, I will fill in the blank.
More quality time with my family, no doubt. Just last night, we were playing games, you know, like a family game around the kitchen island. Definitely, that's a big thing for me.
Got to do it. Goes fast. A pet peeve of yours?
I don't even know. I saw this one. I don't know. I don't want to say it out loud. I don't know.
He's taking a pass. A
recent. I don't want anyone to think they're doing that, and then I'm judging them, right? Like I don't even know.
I got a long list, man.
You can say to them.
I could go on and on. You're a recent victory.
I got my kid to eat cheesy potatoes. My youngest, she just refused to eat her dinner, and I hated being that guy that says you're gonna do it, but sometimes you just gotta do it as a parent. You get the little wins, you know, because you got to get the big wins later. And she did. She gave in. She's a great kid.
at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel, fill in the blank.
Ready for basketball. We got my youngest, same one, is playing basketball every Saturday. So get up, go to basketball. She's great. We count how many rebounds, how many blocks she can get. She's fourth grade.
Nice. One thing you're curious about.
I'm really now I'm curious about, am I really faster than a Tyrannosaurus Rex? You know, like, what dinosaurs am I faster than? I don't know. Like, it blew my mind. This young man, I'm telling you, it really blew my mind. He's so smart, so well versed. He explained all about the Tyrannosaurus Rex and our speed versus theirs. He told me things I didn't even know. Now I'm curious about that. That'll be.
You might have to connect me. I'm looking for a guest for the podcast. Maybe.
Oh, he would be great. Yeah, and big shout out to our school podcast, Tiger Talk, Middle School Tiger Talk. We have a new episode coming out. So
it's about Tyrannosaurus Rex.
We should that. You know what? I'm gonna do that.
You gotta have him on. You're passionate about that for sure.
That's
wow.
Right. That's right.
How many jokes do you get about jumping jacks? Do kids get involved with the jumping jacks, Andy Jacks? They get involved with that?
But it's not so much over the years. Oh, yeah. Jumping jacks, Apple Jacks. Yeah, all that. Yep.
Andy Jacks. Virginia is for lovers. True or false?
True. It's all about loving Virginia.
Virginia or Virginia Tech?
God, come on. Go Hokies.
Tech. All right. Yep. Cheeseburger, taco, or empanada?
Ooh, cheeseburger. Bacon cheeseburger.
He likes the bacon. Long walk or gym workout?
Oh, gym. Get the weights. Get the pump.
Beach, pool, or lake?
Lake. And my wife talks about it all the time. She's a beach. I'm a lake. I'd love to go to a lake.
Book or audio book?
Book. I love to read. Read every day. Read as much as possible can.
Nice. Series or movie?
We're watching a lot more series, so I have to say series, right? We're watching a series right now, so series.
There's so many out there.
Oh, there's way too many out there. And if you get involved in a series, but then you don't finish it, then you start a new one.
Dude, speaking of dinosaurs, we watched that Monarch on
good, right?
Oh my god, that was incredible.
Yeah, so my dad loves Godzilla. Like, we grew up Godzilla stuff, right?
Yeah.
So watching that one, seeing how it's connected to the other movies, that was great.
Kurt Russell. Very cool. Morning or night?
It depends. Morning, I guess, right? Get up, get going.
Get going, get moving. Cash or credit?
Ideally cash. Ideally.
Cookie or donut?
Cookie. Don't put cookies in front of me. No. My daughter made some, my oldest made some chocolate chip oatmeal cookies the other day. And it was, you cannot do that to me. That's unfair.
Couldn't just have one.
Oh, no.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee, for sure.
Surviving or thriving?
Yeah, thriving, buddy. Let's go.
Dr. Andy Jacks, everybody. Andy, this was incredible. I'm glad we got to get it in here. We almost hit a swing and a miss. Andy, your website's phenomenal. What's the best way people get in touch with you?
Yeah, my website, andyjacks.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, all that stuff, _ Andy Jacks. Reach out to me, connect, share. You know what I want to know? Share with me what's working in your school. That's that Twitter, I'll say, like, Twitter X, whatever it's called right now. I think one of those things is making sure that we get back to the days where we are proud to share what's happening in our school.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are afraid on social media. We're afraid to put stuff out there, and I get it. But I want to get back to this place where we just brag, share, and showcase what's happening in your school. So if you got something like that, professionally share with me, because with NAESP, we would like to showcase that as well. We're looking for our schools doing innovative work. Right now, the Center for Innovative Leadership is trying to find specific school leaders that are able to share cool practices in their school. But then just on a personal level, I get very motivated, inspired by people. And you may not realize that you're doing that to somebody else. You may just think, everybody's doing this or they don't care. But for me, it's a big deal. It motivates me. And so share everything you got. Put it out there.
I agree 100%. Dr. Andy Jacks. Andy, I'm a quote guy. You have a quote you want to bring us home with?
Oh, yeah. It's right on my board right here. I love this one. Don't wait for inspiration. It comes while working.
By Henry the T. Similar to that passion and success.
It comes while working.
Beautiful. Andy, this was fun. It was great. I'm glad we got to meet, and hopefully we'll connect this summer at United in Nashville.
Yeah, bud. Can't wait. Good talking to you.
All right, we're going to sign off. Andy, stay on for a minute. He mentioned his Twitter. I am at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter, and we are going to sign off here on Education, Leadership, and Beyond. Andy, I appreciate the time, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
All right, hang on. Here we go.